Would you turn back to Daniel chapter 6? Now, before us is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. Daniel in the lion's den. Most every Sunday school class, it's taught. It is an idiom in our language, like we saw last week. I've seen the writing on the wall. That came from Daniel 5, and I'm going into the lion's den, into a difficult situation. That comes from here in Daniel chapter 6. And what we see in looking at this man is Daniel's courage and faithfulness shining so brightly. You know, we even have a hymn in our hymn book entitled, Dare to be a Daniel. I don't recommend it. But let's look at the last two verses of Daniel chapter 5. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Now, Darius means Lord. It's the same title as Pharaoh or king. There were 5 or 6 Dariuses during the Mede and Persians' rule. And in all likelihood, this is Cyrus, the man who turned and had the Jews leave Babylon and go back to Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, there's a prophecy regarding this man in Isaiah chapter 45, if you'll turn with me there. This was written 200 years before the birth of Cyrus. This is Isaiah. 200 years before the birth of Cyrus, we're given a prophecy concerning this man. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Now, I dare say when the people read this, they didn't know what he's talking about. They didn't know this was pointing to a man that was going to be born in 200 years, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the 2-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I'm going to make him king of the world. I'll go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I'll break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. And I'll give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I've called thee by thy name. I've surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Now, this is a prophecy regarding this man given 200 years before his birth. I turn back to Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom. Remember, he has been made king. It's gone from the Chaldeans to the Medes and the Persians. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Daniel was the second in command behind all of these other, over all these other presidents and people he'd set in authority, only under Darius. That the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Now, one thing I'd like to say is whoever you're working for, they ought not receive any damage from you. They ought to benefit by you being their employee. That was certainly the case with Daniel. And the king, Darius, knew that. Then this Daniel was preferred. Verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over all the kingdom. What a character he possessed. Verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They were jealous. They didn't want him reigning over them, so they started looking for something that they could find against him, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. neither was there any error or fault in him. What a man. These men were looking for something. Look at the political things that take place in our day when people start looking for corruption with politicians. Easy to find, isn't it? Well, they couldn't find any with Daniel. There was no fault or error in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Now, they knew about his devotion to God. They watched him pray 3 times a day from his window toward Jerusalem. They knew he would refuse to worship their false gods and give them any credence. So they thought, "We're going to do something about this. This is what we're going to work with." Now let's go and read it. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom..." Now wait a minute. That's a lie right off the bat. Daniel wasn't included in this. He's telling a lie. "All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains, the big shots, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." Now, what we're wanting to do is make you a god for at least 30 days. Your will is going to determine everything. Nothing will take place without you giving your okay and your will being exerted. Nobody's allowed to ask any man or god anything for 30 days but you. "Now, O king," verse 8, "establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the Medes and Persians, the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Now that's very important. That's in there 3 or 4 times in this story, how the law of the Medes and the Persians cannot be changed. Once it's made law, it stays law. It can't be altered. It can't be amended. "Wherefore," verse 9, "King Darius signed the writing and the decree." He was so vain. This sounds good to me. I think I want to do this. I like the idea of me being in absolute control and my will being done. He said, "Okay, I'll sign it." He signed that document. Verse 10. "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," he knew what the law was. He knew what was going to happen to him. "He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber," he didn't close them, "and they were open toward Jerusalem." You see, he would pray toward Jerusalem. Remember God's promise when you're in captivity, pray toward this place. This is talking about the temple. He would pray toward the temple, and this represents the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows were being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, right in front of that open window where everybody could see, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." He didn't change anything, knowing what was going to take place. Verse 11, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying." You can bet this is what they wanted to do. They knew he prayed every day, and they were looking for this opportunity. They were looking in his window because they wanted to report him to the king. "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Whenever a law was made, it could not be altered. It could not be amended. It was there for good. "Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Well, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. "I can't believe I gave myself up to that kind of vanity. Now look what I've done to Daniel. You see, he loved Daniel. He highly esteemed Daniel. And he'd made him the head over everything so he wouldn't suffer any damage. Daniel would protect his best interests. And he was sore displeased with himself that he had been tricked by these men because of his own silly vanity and pride. He was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. He was looking for a loophole in the law. How can I deliver this man whom I have really destroyed by this stupid document that I've signed? And he set his heart on him to deliver him. Verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. The king knew this. Then the king, verse 16, commanded. Nothing he could do. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now these were hungry lions, and there were a lot of them. And Daniel was thrown into that den. How much of a chance, humanly speaking, did he have of surviving this? None. None. But the king commanded. You see, the law of the Medes and Persians couldn't be changed. So the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, you see, he knew Daniel, and he knew that Daniel worshipped the living God. I don't have any doubt that Daniel had told the king about God. And look what he says, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. The law could not be altered. He had to be thrown into the lion's den. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He was so upset. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, from that den of lions, from behind that rock, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they've not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I've done no hurt. Then the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them with their children and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What courage, what faithfulness, what faith. How we admire Daniel. Question. Up to this point, have I preached the gospel? Could a sinner be saved by hearing what I just said? Everything I said was true. It was according to the scripture. But could a sinner be saved by this? The answer is no. I have not preached the gospel. Now, am I disagreeing with anything I said? Not at all. Not at all. Everything I've said is true about Daniel. Everything comes from the scripture that I've said. But if this is all I have seen in this story, I've not seen anything. Now, in this story, this historical event that literally and miraculously took place, Darius is a type of God the Father, and Daniel is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as God will enable me, I want to briefly bring a gospel message from the reading of this word. It says in verse 1, it pleased Darius. You know, that's where we begin. It pleased the Lord. Whatever the Lord pleased, that did he in earth and sea and all deep places. We begin with what pleases the Lord, the will of the Lord, the pleasure of the Lord, his purpose. You know, I thought of several scriptures. It pleased God to make you his people. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Speaking of the death of Christ on the cross. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We're starting with God's pleasure. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the princes might give account unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Now, God is not going to receive any damage. He's not going to save at the expense of any of his attributes. He will not show mercy at the expense of his justice. He will not show love at the expense of his sovereignty. He will not show grace at the expense of his broken law. You see, he's not going to receive damage in anything. Any gospel that does not magnify and line up with every attribute of God is a false gospel. Now, let me repeat that. Any message you hear that does not line up with every attribute of God, his holiness, his justice, his sovereignty, his power, his immutability, that he never changes. Go on and on, whatever attribute we're talking about. God is not going to save at the expense of any of his attributes. He's going to receive damage in nothing. That is the living God, the God of the Bible. Then this Daniel, verse 3, was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over his whole realm. Now, who is this but Christ? It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I love what John the Baptist said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, he is preferred before me because he was. He eternally was before me. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Then the presidents, verse 4, sent to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. You see, the issue then and now was, we will not have this man reign over us. They did not like the fact that Daniel was in control, that they were answering to him, and they wanted to depose him of his kingship, and they started looking for a way to do it. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now who is that but the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, which of you can convince me of sin? Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, King Darius, live forever. What suck-ups? The way they talk to him, and they don't mean any of it. All they're trying to do is destroy Daniel. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a law that your will is the final thing. That man's religion. Your will is the determining factor as to whether or not you will be saved. Now, O king, establish the decree. Verse 8. Sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. That's very important to understand this story. The law cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. It cannot be done away with. The law cannot be altered. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree in his vanity. Now, Daniel knew what the result would be. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem. And this is so important. Daniel was praying toward Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. That's where the sacrifice was. That's where the high priest came in behind the veil and sprinkled the blood 7 times. The people were accepted. All this is talking about is the gospel. That's what it meant to look to that temple, to look to Jerusalem. It wasn't saying that there's any particular good luck in looking toward Jerusalem. It was the gospel. It's looking to Christ. And Daniel continued to do it. He knew the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree, that law that cannot be changed. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, should be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. Then answered they before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day to his God. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Now, I want to say this as carefully as I can. The Lord God is bound by his nature. He cannot do anything contrary to his nature. The law says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. God's law. And that law cannot be altered. And I don't claim to understand this. I'm talking about things I really believe but have no understanding of. When God saw sin on his son, and he had to say, smite the shepherd, he loved his son. What pain. Do I understand that? No. When Christ said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, he knew he was getting ready to drink sin. You see, me and you don't really understand how bad sin is. As a matter of fact, we don't understand it at all. He did. He does. And the thought of drinking that cup and being made sin, he said, if there's any other way, may it be done. And that's what we see in this picture of Darius setting on his heart to deliver Daniel, if there's any way that it could be done, but it can't. The law cannot be altered. Verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. God's law can't be changed. God's character can't be changed. He said, I'll by no means clear the guilty. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. That cannot be changed. That's the character of God. Verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. A situation that was humanly speaking impossible for him to be delivered, a den of hungry lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he'll deliver thee. I have no doubt that Daniel had told him about this God. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. He has to go in the lion's den. He broke that law that could not be altered. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon him the sins of his people. And he was guilty of the commission of those sins. He didn't commit them. But when he was made sin, he became guilty of the commission of those sins. Now I want you to remember, God doesn't put sins in hell, does he? He puts the people who committed those sins in hell. And Christ Jesus became guilty before God. And the law cannot be changed. It demanded his death. Daniel is thrown into the lion's den, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither was there instruments of music. He was so upset. His sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Now, Christ went into the den of the lions, hell, suffering God's wrath. And then verse 21 said, Daniel unto the king, he came out, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Now, where's the gospel there? Christ was made sin, was made guilty, suffered under the wrath of God, and satisfied all the demands of God's law and God's justice and God's wrath. And he can now say, regarding himself and everybody he died for, innocency is found in me. I'm not guilty. It's what the Bible calls justification. That's what Christ accomplished on the cross. When he died, was buried, and was raised again, the scripture says he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. I am innocent before God. I have done no sin. That's how completely Christ put away sin. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This is what we call substitution and satisfaction. Verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. I love to think of this happening, them lowering whatever it was among those lions, and Daniel's brought up without a scratch on him. The resurrection. Christ walking out of the tomb. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Their children, their wives, and the lions had the master of them, and break all their bones in pieces, ever they came to the bottom of the den. What happened to Daniel's accusers? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Then King Darius wrote unto all nations, peoples, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree, this is very much like Nebuchadnezzar did, that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. All other gods are false idols. He's steadfast forever, immutable, eternally. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. He understood his would be one day, but not the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom. His dominion, his sovereignty shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. Five questions to end. Darius said, O Daniel, is thy God, whom thou servest, able to deliver thee from the lions? You've got a God. Somebody said, I'm an atheist. Well, that's your God then. Everybody's got a God. Some kind of God that they worship. Is your God able to deliver you? Can your God deliver you from the lion's den of an unalterable law? Now, God's law cannot be altered. The soul that sins shall surely die. You've sinned. Amen. You've sinned. Can your God deliver you from a law that cannot be altered? My God can. He's made a way to be just and honor his law and punish sin and yet justify everybody that Christ died for. Can your God deliver you from this den of lions, an evil nature, dead in trespasses and sins, where you can't believe, you can't repent, you can't love, you're dead in trespasses and sins. Can your God deliver you from that lion's den? Mine can. Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth. This is the call of irresistible, invincible grace. And by his command. You're caused to believe. Rise from the dead. Repent. Third question. Can your God deliver you from this den of lions? Perseverance. Now, what do I mean by that? You still have an evil nature that is just as sinful as it ever was. Somebody denies that, well, you've lost all credibility. Nobody can believe somebody that would deny something like that because you're not even being honest. Can your God deliver you and cause you to persevere all the way to the end, even when you have this evil nature? Mine can. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. My God can. Fourth question. You're going to die. And you're going to be turned into a pile of dirt. Is your God able to deliver you from that? You're certainly not. My God is able. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. You're going to stand before a holy God in judgment. Me too. You're going to stand before a holy God in judgment. And you sinned. Is your God able to deliver you at that time? My God can. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God justified them. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen, who's even at the right hand of God. Is your God able to deliver you? Now, like I said, I read that story. And it's funny watching you all. I was reading it, the first part of that message. I was getting all these blank stares. I understand. I wasn't preaching the gospel. I was giving the truth of the story, but I wasn't preaching the gospel. That's the way most people handle Daniel in the lion's den. You dare to be a Daniel. But oh, how clearly the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is made known in this story. Let's pray. Lord, how thankful we are for our Savior who took our sin and our sorrow and made them his very own. And he stood before your law and paid all the debts and satisfied you and came out with innocency of himself and everyone he died for by putting away their sins. Lord, how we thank you for your ability to deliver. Bless this message for your glory and our good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.